Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. Today is the 8th of October. It's 7:05 in the morning, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Jared's at the helm, but I have Trish Clark. She's back from her ramblings around America.
And I'm so glad to be back. I've missed you all. It's just to be back.
We missed you, too.
It's nippy. It's 57 degrees in downtown Reading. We're going to have a high today of 79 and a low of 51. On Friday, a high of 76 and a low of 55. Saturday, high of 73 and a low of 50. On Sunday, a high of 77, a low of 52. Columbus Day on Sunday, we're going to have a high, or on Monday, a high of 85. So it's going up a little.
There could be some rain, too, though.
Could be some, kind of chance of showers.
We could use a little.
Increasing clouds. It doesn't come right out and say rain any place, but we sure could use some of that. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, and Jared's at the helm in there. 88% of the Zog fire contained. Do you have anything else on that?
I do not. Well, actually, it says it's 90% contained right now.
Oh, is it 90? Okay.
Yeah. We're doing an update, yeah.
Okay, 90% contained. Well, if you know what, thank goodness. Yes, we lost, it's horrible losing anybody in these, in any type of fire like this. But these firefighters just did a magnificent job. When the fire turned and started coming north, and people say, well, it's going to burn, it's burning in the trace of the car fire. They don't realize. My friends, first of all, it's been 2 years. All the grass and brush has grown up in 2 years, and it has not been cleared out. And all those dead logs from the car fire, have not been cleared out. So it's got, it's a happy hunting ground in there. It gets into that, and it's even worse because the trees are totally dried out.
Well, man, there was a very good possibility that the other fire burning over way on the west side, that they could come together. And if they had come together and formed a complex, we had a whole new ballgame.
Yeah.
And then you end up with a complex fire. Then it starts gathering new fuel from each other, and it would have jumped the creek at that point.
Well,
a couple of days there where it was dip. They just didn't know moment to moment.
The battle, you could call it the battle for Clear Creek.
Exactly.
There could have been a documentary on this because, like you said, if it had jumped the creek, all bets are off.
Yeah, and the whole new ballgame.
But they held it. They held it there because it was going to get into areas that you couldn't even get tankers in to because of the canyons and everything in there.
Well, we forget that part of the issues that cause these extreme burning conditions are things like the canyons that we can't get into. But besides that, we used to have all kinds of roads. When we were doing timber and we were doing off-road vehicle and we were doing all those things where you could get firefighters into these areas to stop them and slow them down. Well, we've systematically over the years shut off all those roads. They're no longer maintained. You don't have Forest Service roads and off-road vehicle areas like we did all throughout the North State. That makes it very difficult to fight a fire. You can't get anywhere near it. You can't get close to it.
And speaking of fire, I need to ring the bell. For civility, last night.
Oh.
In the vice presidential debate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did a beautiful job, everybody involved, of not getting excited and not...
Does Pence ever look like he gets excited?
No, he doesn't.
I mean that. I like that in the sense of He does not look like he gets. He looks over there. He looked over there
a couple of times
at Senator Harris, and he looked at her. But there was no anger on this man's face. Senator Harris, and bless her too, she was, they went by the rules, but did they have a give and take? Yes. Did they get, you know, was there some, you know, things going back and forth? I'm talking. This is my turn. You know, okay, but that was it. If the next presidential debate's like that.
Not going to happen.
I don't know.
Okay, what I want people to understand, though, is because the setup for these debates, and we all kind of see this, but they're always with the liberal bent. The questions that they ask are based, I feel, most of the time on a false premise. They come out with things that, they, you know, everyone agrees, scientists are, you people are doing this. Things that the first thing you want to say before you answer the question
the
press, is...
The get-together in the Rose Garden goes against every scientist. So you're on the defense right then.
And that's what they do. And I have maintained for 25 years that the first thing they ought to say is, that's not a true statement, but the question and answer too. I mean, they ought to say that. The other thing, when you're debating, and I used to do a lot of debating in high school and what have you, even though your 2 minutes are up, you always finish your thought.
Right.
You don't stop in mid-sentence. And if you did notice, she jumped on Pence the minute he went past it, and she didn't do that to Camellia. She always let her finish her thought before she jumped on her. Well, she'd say one time, you're done, and then Camellia would continue to finish.
Kamala,
whatever.
Kamala. No,
Senator Harris. Senator Harris. Because I could never remember her name. Because I've heard it pronounced a couple different ways.
Yeah, but and as I used to say Kamala, but it's Kamala. Like
Kamala.
I'll
stick with Senator Harris.
There you go.
How about that?
No, I mean, it's just, you know what?
But the point is,
if I called you trash all the time.
I wish that we could one time really get a nonpartisan person. Somebody who doesn't have an axe to grind, and or just for a change, let's get a conservative in there one time to head one of these.
Let's have Joe Rogan. He's got one of the best podcasts in the United States. Just sold it for $100 million. He is irreverent. He will ask questions in there, and since he's been involved with the mixed martial arts, the MME, he can keep them on track. Don't make me come up there and put you in an arm lock. You know.
Well, maybe a sports announcer. Maybe, I mean,
somebody. How about
somebody that doesn't have an axe to grind?
Yeah.
Because I get so tired of the questions being phrased that are not accurate statements.
Here's what I don't understand. We've seen two debates now. The Second Amendment has not come up, and it is a strength to the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
Because both Joe Biden and Senator Harris have said they are going to restrict your rights to own guns.
It's
going to
take our A-57s away, isn't it, or something?
Something like that. Whatever that is. Senator Harris has said in a statement that she will have the government, and if she was president in the first 100 days, she would outlaw the importation and sales, just like they did before on that ban they had for 10 years. And the reason they stopped that ban, and it was bipartisan, was it showed it had no impact on crime. It was less than 1%. And yet, Senator Harris said that she's going to come and take your guns. And Joe Biden said he's going to put Beto O'Rourke in charge of the gun policy. Beto O'Rourke is the one that says, I will take your guns and I will use force if I have to. You know, so why hasn't the Second Amendment been brought up?
I will give Senator Harris a kudo for one thing. They managed to pull her off of her Harris-Biden administration. She didn't slip one time and say, when I am president. You know, they've got her a couple, three times. She just gets overboard, and she didn't slip. She didn't slip one time on that thing.
Well, when we talk overboard, it's kind of hard to because Donald Trump goes overboard. He goes overboard a lot. But if you forgive Senator Harris and Joe Biden for saying it, you've got to kind of forgive Trump for some of the things he says. Stand by, or stand down, stand by. I understood what he was saying. Stand down.
Too.
Stand by.
Yeah.
Just stand down.
Let us do it.
Just let this happen.
And I didn't have any trouble understanding that, nor did most of the population.
Yeah.
We continue to get sucked in by this media who turns everything around. I swear, when he came home into the White House, he's out on the patio by himself, and he takes his mask off, you would have thought, for all intents and purposes, that he stripped and was standing there naked in front of the world. If you listen to the commentary by all of the news media about how horrible, how could he possibly, he had just infected the whole free world, he had no respect for anybody, he was going to give that disease to everyone, how dare he take that mask off? It's a mask! He's on an outside patio by himself. But if you listen to the commentary from the media, I mean, for heaven's sake, you thought he was standing there naked.
Well, the fact is the media is one of the reasons that the fear has been stoked. That, you know, there were other things. We have to take a break now, but when we come back, other thing about the debate was when Senator Harris said she would not take a vaccine if it came from the Trump administration. I think she said that because Pence went back and said, I can't believe that you are, you know, we've got four different companies in their third stage of testing this vaccine, and you are telling the American people it's not any good.
Actually, what she said, if Donald Trump recommended it, she would not take it.
Okay. Well, thank you. If
Dr. Fauci recommended it or the doctors recommended it, she would be the first.
Okay. You know what? I missed that one part because I was in and out, but I did hear the word Trump.
But she was discrediting the vaccine.
Right. Well, I mean, but not the way you put it.
Where Trump says it or whether Dr. Fauci says it, it's the same vaccine that's being developed.
Yeah.
And he is, whether she likes it or not, he is the president of the United States and has the ability, the authority, and the availability to speak to the American people.
He does.
And the right.
Well, nobody has shut down Donald Trump. Okay, hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Uncertain times, elections coming up in, gosh, less than 30 days, 27 days or something like that. So is your financial, are you on your financial goals? Is your insurance correct with everything that's going on around here? You need to talk to an expert, and that expert is Judy Maxwell. She's been doing this since 1993. She's got all types of great advice. She can help you in this. She and her team can help you either gain health insurance, make sure your financial health is also good. Maxwell Insurance and Financial, she's the one. Give her a call at 221-0441, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Stop in, say hello, get some assistance. She is more than happy to help our people in the northern state. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back with Mark Mazzano.
Our current representatives taking money from special interests? I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Redding. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
The Redding Chamber of Commerce believes that the health of business is the most important factor in a strong, vibrant community. This is Jake Mangus, Chamber President and CEO. We work closely with local elected officials to ensure their policy decisions take into account the business perspective. That's why the Chamber puts its name behind candidates representing our community that best exemplify what our members care about. I'm pleased to announce the Chamber's local ticket for the upcoming election. The Chamber's Board of Directors gives its full endorsement to Assemblywoman Megan Dolly for re-election in California's 1st Assembly District. At the county level, the Chamber supports Supervisor Steve Morgan for re-election in District 4. And in the city of Reading, the Chamber supports Mayor Adam McElvain and former Mayor Julie Winter for City Council. Say it with me, Dolly, Morgan, McElvain, Winter. Help us re-elect this slate of business-friendly candidates by casting your ballot this fall. This ad was not authorized by a candidate or a committee controlling the candidate. Paid for by the Reading Chamber Political Action Committee.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Did you know that every day in the state of California, 10,000 people turn 65 years old? Yep, 10,000 every day. And the resources needed to allow you or your senior parents to be happy and healthy during these special years can be complicated at best. So where do you begin to find the local resources you may need? ReadingSeniorSource.com. This is an online senior resource directory which will connect you with everything from Medicare supplemental insurance assistance, senior transportation, estate planning attorneys, home care agencies, assisted living communities, and hundreds more. This directory has been a labor of love created by me, Mary Ann Seifert, owner of Mary Ann Senior Placement Services. I have over 2 decades of experience assisting seniors in our community and saw a need for resources to be accessible by everyone. Just go to ReadingSeniorSource.com. That's ReadingSeniorSource.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. It is 7:23 in the morning. It's going to be really a nice day. It's about 52 degrees right now. I may be off a little bit.
57.
Okay. And like I said, 7:23 in the morning. And with us, Trish Clark and I are here. With us is Mark Mazzano, who is running for Reading City Council. Thanks for coming in today, Mark. I know that I know how busy you must be, as everybody is during this time frame. But thanks for coming in.
You know, Carl, it's absolutely incredible. I start my day at 4 o'clock, and I listen to your show every day. And I've got people in Boston and Chicago, where I have family and friends listening. And yesterday I couldn't listen to it, so I listened to it this morning because you make it available offline. And I listened to Chief Shuler, and I applaud that man for what he's doing. I just think he's understaffed, and we need to find a way to get in more people.
Well, you know, I found out something yesterday that I didn't know about Bill Shuler. He fought cancer and won.
True.
I did not know that. So I thought that was and you're right. I think we're very lucky in the people we have that are trying to keep the lid on what we have around here. But okay, but Mark, let's start out with that one then. Law and Order. Oh, excuse me. Let Mark introduce himself again.
Yeah, tell us about
Mark. I forget
Mark.
Sometimes not everybody knows.
Not everybody knows who you are or what you're doing, so give us your spiel.
Well, certainly. 28 years in law enforcement. I was with the California Highway Patrol, what I believe to be the the finest law enforcement agency in the world. I mean, if you look around and look what we do, and every time we make a change and we study it within our organization, as soon as we make a decision, it's amazing how all the other agencies come up with, you know, hey, that's a great idea. We're going to do what the Highway Patrol does. So being part of that for 28 years, I learned a lot. Certainly learned a lot about law enforcement. And I talked to Bill Shuler the other night at the city council meeting because I went there to testify in opposition of the raise that we just decided to give. Not me. The city council decided to give our city attorneys. They were giving 10% raise. Right now, here's what I don't understand. And, you know, coming from a law enforcement background, we had problems in the state. For years, we had problems with the state. And so they would come to us and say, look, we're really tight right now. The budget's not doing well, and you need to work one day a month without pay. And you can bank that for down the road when we're in better shape, and then you can recover that. Well, of course we're going to do that. We're there to serve the people. And so you look at what's going on now. We've got legislators in Washington, D.C. They take a 10% cut, and we're getting a raise. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We just went back into the red zone. And now you've got these restaurant owners and the other businesses, the bars that have to close, 25%. So I don't need five servers now. I need three. I've got to lay two people off making minimum wage. That's wrong. It's wrong. We're doing what we can do. And then you get somebody like Bethel that comes along, brings all their students together, and they bring in 123 cases of COVID-19. Well, and then you got the nursing home. Working, those people can't go anywhere. And I applaud the people that are working there they're right there in the midst of it. They're on the front lines, and now we've got 20 of them that are affected.
Some of the cases that have died have come from the Windsor facility. That has been a hot spot. Bethel has had over 123 cases. But you know what? The fact is that, though, with these eruptions of these cases, it's moving us back into the it's moved us back into the red zone here.
And it's going to move us very, very – that's 2 weeks, yeah. And you're going back into the purple.
I think they need to also take into account how many people are ending up in the hospital. We've only got five people in the hospital.
Absolutely. You're right.
I just have to say, you know, I hope we're not going to have the whole conversation about COVID because we need to really take a good look at it. You've got to look at the population of Shasta County, 200,000 people. You figure how many of them have been infected, even have it or have thought we had it. Yeah. If it's a pulse, you look at all the statistics here. We need to get on with our life.
Yes. Oh, well, I've got two nursing friends. Yeah. They're both operating room nurses. They both tested positive. They self-quarantined. They never got sick, and they're back to work.
Right. We need to as a country and as a community, stop with the fear. Stop with the fear. Live your life. Treat it as any other disease that you would have. It is serious. People die of flu, die of heart attacks, die all kinds of things. But we really, really need to start looking at this and stop being afraid of our own shadow.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So the fact, let's go back to our first premise here. The three members of the city council, Julie Winters, Kristen Schrader, and Aaron Reznor, voted for a 10% raise to the city attorney and his assistant city attorney. It's going to be approximately $30,000 a year. They're both making, the city attorney's making about $191,000 a year right now. And they said it's because they moved the code enforcement under them. They've been doing this, that you had two members of the city council that voted against it saying this is not the right time. And, you know, the fact that we've gone into the red, less money coming in, destroying businesses.
Well, if you don't pass the tax, we have no money to do anything. So we didn't pass the tax, and we don't have money for law enforcement. We don't have money for protection, but we do have money for city attorney's salary.
I asked Bill Shuler Tuesday night, Bill, I'm going to get elected, and when I do, what can I do to help you? He says, get me more people. Get me some money. That's what he wants. You put code enforcement under an attorney. The attorney's job is to review the policy and the procedure and keep us out of trouble, keep us from getting sued. This attorney didn't do that on May 19th. He didn't. I don't know. I wasn't. It was a closed door session. I know one of our council members, who is an attorney, said, "Don't do this. You're going to get sued." And they did it anyway. So does our council not listen to the attorney they just gave a 10% raise to? Or is he not capable enough to convince them that this was wrong?
That's a good point, is when that came up. If you had one attorney saying, "We're going to get sued," and we don't have full indemnity.
Because you don't know what the attorney told him.
But we don't know. But you know what?
That's his job.
Adam McElvain's coming in today after Mark, and I'm going to
ask. He can't tell you. No, because it's in closed session.
It's a closed session, and it's currently in litigation, so they'll say they can't talk about it.
And they can't. That's true.
Okay.
But you got to believe, if he's doing his job, he's advising the council. He has to know that.
Attorney is sitting there, and if they're in agreement, you got to wonder why the...
Yeah.
Why the council would go in a different direction.
We're here with Mark Messner, and when we come back, one of the things that was addressed yesterday on the show was this homeless. You have a strong feeling.
Absolutely.
About what to do with the homeless.
I've been dealing with it for 28 years, Carl. I have a real opinion about it.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we can talk about it. This portion of the show brought to you by Trish and Linda's favorite place to hang out, Four Winds Jewelry. Yeah, 2225 Hilltop Drive.
It's a candy store.
It's okay. And, you know, everything from state jewelry to Native American jewelry to special pieces they design and build themselves. Four Winds Jewelry, great people. Great prices down there. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Four Winds Jewelry.
Linda and I's motto is, you can never have too many diamonds or too many guns.
Don't tell my wife that, please.
No, it's true. Okay. But that puts us into a completely different realm of people here. Us gun owners. 7:31 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
Ad paid for by No on 23. Stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Go with Mazzano.
Mark Mazzano is a 28-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Mazzano.
Mark's a proven organizational leader in law enforcement who led by example and got things done.
Go with Mazzano.
This is a new voice for Redding City Council who, unlike others, will work the job full-time.
Go with Mazzano.
My name is Mark Mazzano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Mazzano, Council Member, City of Redding.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2, Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy.
program, HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance, as well as community education services. PSA2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA2 HICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C., 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Our Thursday lady.
Like Thursday.
Yeah, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Locally owned, locally operated. They are great people. Do business with Cornerstone Community Bank. They've stood up and helped our community in a thousand different ways during COVID, and now they are always moving local dreams forward. Two branches in Reading at 1845 California Street and the Old Reilly Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue, Cornerstone Community Bank. Trish and I are here with Mark Mazzano, who is running for Reading City Council. He's been a California Highway Patrolman for 28 years. He was a coach over at, I believe, Simpson University. And one of the largest problems, and I used this yesterday, or Linda used it as an example, she was trying to drive in and just mail a letter in that little street in between the Veterans Hall and the post office. And she got hung up there because people were in the street, and she was trying to be pleasant, but they were not moving. Finally, they moved across the street enough so she could drive by to mail four letters. It has become I guess you could say, an exercise area that you ordinarily see at the jails right there. Lots of homeless. What would you do?
Carl, I've been dealing with the homeless problem for 28 years. They're not just confined to the city of Reading. They're up and down the freeways. I've worked in multiple cities. San Bernardino had a tremendous problem with the homeless, and you deal with it. Bill Shuler can't deal with it because he didn't have enough people. It's a low priority for him. He's got other more important things to do. They'll talk about the council members will talk about the fact that they've added community service officers to the department, and they're real proud of that. And you know, that's a good thing. They go out and they're the paper takers, and they free up the officers to do more important things. But you can't send a community service officer over there to break up an illegal assembly. Blocking the street is illegal. And really all you have to do is send the police there and take them off the street. And if you do it, there's a thing in California that says you look at habitual offenders. And we did it in Reading. There was a gentleman that had a homeless camp, and it was a huge homeless camp, him and two other guys. And the code enforcement got involved, and they cited him three times, arrested him three times, and then got our district attorney to prosecute him as a habitual offender. He got 4 years in state prison, and his two friends have never been seen again. So it's a priority. People don't want to go downtown. They don't want to go to the post office. They don't want to go to the library. One of my volunteers, his wife, worked at the library for years. And for them to have to come in and take showers and bathe in the bathrooms and things, that's not the American way. We've got to do something for these people. Believe me, I talked to the veterans officer at the county.
Mm-hmm.
And
Celestina Traver.
Yes, Celestina. And absolutely, 2 years ago she had 250-some-odd homeless vets, and now she's down to 88. And I said, I will help you. What can I do to help you find homes for those veterans? She says, Mark, I can find homes for them. They don't want to be in a home. And so my point there is that you're not going to get everybody off the street. But we've got to make sure that they comply with the rules and they're not infecting other people.
Right. Some of them want that lifestyle.
Right. And they're going to push the buttons. They're going to do it because they know that, well – Julie Winter, in last year's State of the City address, said it was beyond the scope of city government. One of the reasons I'm here and running for council is because beyond the scope of city government, if it's not our problem, whose problem is it? You think the feds are going to come in here and fix it for us or the state? But if we do something, if we do something about it, they'll help us. There's money there. The Stockton area got $12 million a couple of weeks ago. Can't we get six? We got the same number of homeless people. They're just a bigger city. So why can't we get a little more? Santa Clara County got a great program going on. They bring the homeless in to help out in the city and do, you know, a variety of projects. They don't give them money. They give them, it's kind of like script where they can get their essentials. But they're giving them a purpose, and that's what you have to do. Are all those people out there homeless going to take us up on that offer? No. But if you look at the number one cause of being homeless nationwide, there's 500,000 of them, it's losing a job. And what's happening now? COVID-19, we're losing jobs. Some of those people are going to not be able to pay their rent, and they're going to become homeless. The problem is going to exacerbate itself, and we're really going to be in trouble. But, and unfortunately, Adam McElvain, in this year's State of the City address, it wasn't important enough to mention. It's a problem for the city. It's a crisis for this city. And you and I both know that if you can't walk about freely and do your business because you're being accosted by a homeless individual, it's terrible.
Well, I personally am really glad that I live in the city of Anderson.
They don't have the problem down there because they don't allow panhandling.
That's right.
And the chief down there takes care of business, but he's got the resources.
He does. And I will remind you that the city passed the half-cent sales tax several years ago for law enforcement. It made all the difference. It's about numbers, as you said to begin with. It's about having enough officers on the street. I had an incident just as a sideline last night at the Frontier Senior Center. We had a break-in, attempted break-in. I had three officers at 10 o'clock at night within 2 minutes.
Right. I believe it.
Our time's limited, and it is. And plus, they have the resources.
And they have the resources. But the point is the resources. The resources. That's what we've got to concentrate
on. Carl, you asked me, what would I do if I get elected to council? Yes. I'm going to tell you one of the first things I would like to do, and I've done this before. I've written the plan. I've executed the plan. And I would form a task force in Reading. And I would put members of the city council on it, some of our other city officials. I would go out and seek the community leaders to be on it, but I would also add some of the homeless people. You've got to be with them. You've got to talk to them and find out. You know, one of the things you learn in the Highway Patrol is when you go to a new command, and I had to do that several times as you promote up through the ranks, you seek out the informal leaders. Now, you're not going to walk in there and change the world the first day, but there are rules, there are regulations, there are policies and procedures. So you go in there and you seek out the informal leader, and then you bring them on board with some of your ideas, and you get their input. And with that, you come up with a plan. And then you allow them to go back to the troops and sell it. And everybody buys into it, and things work. I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to take counsel, unlike some of our city council members, from the experts. Somebody asked me the other day, what do I know about budgeting? Well, I manage a house. I manage three homes. I'm going to learn. Somebody on the Shasta Environmental Alliance, I participated in their forum. They gave us the questions a week in advance. I did my research. I answered my questions. Unfortunately, on one of the questions on the tree mitigation program, we have an ordinance in this town. It was formed back in 2006. It has no teeth. But unfortunately, McElvain didn't have time to look it up and respond. I looked it up. It's a great idea. Chico does it. I talked to the people that administer the program in Chico, and they charge you, if you cut down a tree that's over 12 inches, $80 an inch. They put the money into a fund. They hire seasonal workers to water the trees that they're planting that they couldn't get water to. And they put the rest of the money in the fund. They've got $150,000, and they use that for matching grants. So they take $25,000 out. They get an organization to give them $25,000, and now they've got $50,000 to go plant more trees and work with climate control. Somebody wrote in, and I read all this stuff, and I start my day at 4 o'clock to respond to people because I think they deserve the answers.
From you, not from staff.
From me. And what he said was if – I probably got my education on climate control at Holiday Inn. And okay, you're entitled to that opinion, But then I went to an organization, a publication, I think it's called Cafe Press. They're an organization.
Shrugs from Carl.
Okay. And there was an ad there for a class from Shasta College on climate change. Now, I don't know everything about climate change, but I signed up for the class. So for the next three Thursdays, I'll be spending 2 hours learning about climate change. And that's because I have the ability to work it full time. I have no other commitments other than my wife and my two dogs. So on the homeless, I want to do the task force. Santa Clara County's got a program where they call it Dignity on Wheels. And they bring it in. It's two showers and a washer and dryer. And you let people take a shower, do their laundry, and you give them some dignity. And then you can be reasonable and you can say, hey.
I like the idea of a working group with having a homeless on it, because when you go up, if you want to find out if that machine gun's laid in right, you ask the machine gunner. You ask that PFC, that 17- or 18-year-old kid, and say, is this laid in right? Is this where it needs to be? He stays in his lane. He'll tell you everything in the world about that machine gun. But, you know, you don't want to ask him about what's happening, one squad over, because that's not his job. So having a homeless on something like that that can actually articulate what's needed is a good idea. But we've got to take a break.
And an end zone.
Yes.
A time. This task force will last for this long.
I agree.
This long. And it will report out every, it's going to report out monthly. And within 3 months, we should have a report.
Absolutely. And then take comment from the citizens.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They are working full-time down there because they, too, are restricted by COVID. They can only have one customer in the shop at a time, even though they're 10 feet away from each other. But they give great haircuts. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They do it on appointments. Give them a call at 244-9478. Man's last stronghold. Yeah, what can I say? We'll be right back with Mark Mazzano.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020.
Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
There they go again. Labor unions and Sacramento politicians are targeting rideshare and food delivery drivers. They passed a law, and they've sued in court to take away the right of drivers to be independent contractors. It's just another power grab by Sacramento politicians. That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects the right of Californians to work as independent contractors. Yes on 22 protects hundreds of thousands of jobs. Yes on 22 protects rideshare and delivery services millions depend on. Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers and the California Taxpayers Association, the California Small Business Association, and the California Peace Officers Association. Vote yes on 22. Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms. Small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Uber Technologies, Lyft, and DoorDash.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor, District 4. The coronavirus has disrupted much of our normal life in Shasta County. The virus is to be taken seriously for those at risk. However, closing Shasta County has had a severe economic impact on our local businesses and families. And keeping them closed is not the answer. It's time to open Shasta County now. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
The safety of our valued guests and team members remains our highest priority. At Wind River Resort and Casino, our clean team safety crew is available 24/7 to ensure you're provided with a safe and fun experience. Safety measures include a non-invasive thermal temperature scan, notification to clean high-touch areas, face mask policy, numerous sanitizing stations, and plexiglass for added safety to allow for social distancing, allowing our guests to have a comfortable gaming experience. Your safety matters to us. WindRiver.com.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 1423306.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl Bott and Trish Clark here today, Thursday the 8th. 57 degrees out there. It's smoky out there. It's going to go up to a whopping 81 today. Yes. Yes. And we're at 90% containment on the Zog fire. And hopefully, this will be the last one of the season. Let's hope, at least around here. Trish and I are here with Mark Mazzano, and who's running for Reading City Council. One quick question here. Second Amendment. How do you stand on the Second Amendment?
Wow, Carl, I carried a gun for 28 years. I absolutely support it.
Do you think that people should be able to have a concealed carry?
If they pass the right background check.
In training.
Absolutely training.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, one of the things we tell people. And
can you think of any reason you would restrict it?
Well, just look at their criminal background.
Okay. So your whole thing is based on felonies, mentally impaired, and this.
Absolutely.
So you're going, you go along.
Well, here's a question that you got to ask. If you're going to allow somebody to do a concealed carry, you have to ask this question. This is a question that we ask our law enforcement. I was a recruiter for the Highway Patrol. We asked them, if you had to take a human life, could you do it? Because more times than not, the criminal will take the gun from you and use it against you. And so you have to make that decision. And my answer was, 30 years ago, absolutely, if I had to do it to save my life or the life of someone I was sworn to protect, I would do it in a heartbeat. So when you want to allow somebody to carry a gun, can they do that?
That's a question I ask. If you're not, and I don't make people answer it, I just say if you're not prepared to use the gun, don't carry the gun. Don't carry the gun. Okay, let's move on to the casino. The casino has been a bear on the table. The city council wrote 5-0, a letter opposing it. The city council just sold a section of road that effectively blocks the casino. Even if they get permission to do it, it blocks them from building the casino. It was in a closed session. They were warned by the only attorney on the city council that you're going to be sued, and he voted against it because the city council did not require full indemnity on this. What is your stand on the casino? For, against?
Well, I'm absolutely in favor of it, and I was in favor of that project before I decided to run for council. When I found out about it and I looked at their proposal, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, an amphitheater on the river where we can go and watch a concert on a Friday or Saturday night and not have to drive all the way to Sacramento. I mean, we want to talk about reducing the carbon footprint. Let's keep that here. But then I found out 700 jobs. That's what we need in this town. So I support it. And so I was in favor of it. And then there was an evening when I was at my daughter's house and I was talking to my future son-in-law, who's going to be a highway patrolman. I was telling him about it, and did I know that a guy standing over in the corner, a guy by the name of Lane Rickard, I didn't know who he was. He was my future son-in-law's best friend in high school. And I'm talking about the casino project, and he comes up and he goes, are you in favor of that? And I go, well, who wouldn't be in favor of a project that brings 700 jobs into the city? Let's talk about millions of dollars, because you put 700 people in there, put them to work, they're going to spend their money in the city. But then also, you know, they pay money to the city. They do. They bought the land. They pay money to the city. And then for the council to do Well, anyway, a short while later, when I decided to run for council, he came to me and said, would you like the support of the tribe? I go, well, sure. So I went to a tribal council meeting, and they asked me a bunch of questions. I answered their questions. I do support the project. A couple of days later, I got a phone call. We're going to support you. And they wrote me a check. And it's unfortunate, but you need money to run a campaign. I need money to put commercials out there.
It's not unfortunate. That's the American way. Well, and anybody who says they buy anything other than a good elected official, then they're not paying attention to the people they're electing. You shouldn't have to spend your own money to get elected.
You're right. And
you have to buy your seat, then yeah. What's that worth?
No.
There should be enough people out there, organizations that support a candidate, to put you in the seat.
One of the things I told the tribal leadership on that Tuesday afternoon, I said, look, this is my position, whether you support me or not. If what you want to do benefits the citizens of Reading, you have my support. If it doesn't benefit the citizens of Reading, I'm sorry, I can't support you. And that's the end of it. It's that simple for me. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to set aside my personal agenda if it's for the good of the city. I live here, and I want this city to prosper. And I've raised a family here. My son works in town. He's a loan officer here in town. My daughter's in the nursing program at Shasta College. She's got straight A's her first year. I'm real proud of that girl. But, if we don't do that, if we don't look at those things and set aside our personal agendas, which obviously didn't happen when they did the backdoor deal to sell a little piece of property to block their commercial access.
The key to that one is they sold a road.
Yeah.
I was thinking property, and you think, yeah,
okay.
But when they literally sold a piece of a public road,
so you get a realtor to come in and say, oh, it's worth $1,025, and then you get the council to say, well, we'll take $3,000, and we'll accept that $100,000 worth of indemnification. Well, now we're in a lawsuit because our attorney didn't do his job. Our council member tried to do it, but nobody would listen to him. And do you think this lawsuit is going to be more than $100,000? I guarantee it. Who's paying for that? We are.
Well, that's just about the road. There's another lawsuit you can bring in. It's loss of economic. You've been economically damaged by this.
Oh, sure.
That's a separate lawsuit that could, you know, which would also, but would probably come under that $100,000. And you know what? The tribe is upset. The land was sold to them by the city. There was nothing in there that said you can't build a casino. I think if you had common sense, you'd probably think that they'd probably want to put one out there. Now, this is before the city council, so I'm not laying that on the city council.
Yeah, but Julie Winter said that it's a nice piece of property. I like the way it looks. It should stay that way. It's not her property.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Right? I mean, what the heck?
And, and Bethel has been opposing this, as people know, the building of the casino. Anyway, we've got like a minute and a half for you to tell people why to vote for you and also tell them how to get a hold of you.
Well, certainly. I want you to vote for me because I'm willing to fight your fight. I'm retired. I want to do this job full time. I think in a city this size with as much going on in our local government and the problems we've got, it's a full time job. I don't have any other commitments and I want to be there. And I've told people this. They look at me like I'm crazy, but this is just my work ethic, people. I want to work 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. I want to get into these different departments and I want to ask questions because when the city sends me the 72-hour notice of an agenda for the council meeting, it takes a while to read that. And then I have to make a phone call. I don't understand this. Can you help me understand this? And then they explain it to me. That's why I researched this 10% raise for the attorney. The city's underfunded liabilities. Oh, we don't want to go there? Over $500 million?
We don't have enough time.
No, we don't have $500 million? We don't have the 3 days.
Yeah. Well,
how do they get a hold of Mark?
They can go to my website. It's Mazzano, the number 4, Reading. com, and that's Mezzano. And if you were listening to my grandfather, he would say Mezzano, but it's Mezzano for Reading .com. Or my email is Mezzano4Reading@gmail.com. And I start my day at 4 o'clock, and that's when I respond to the emails. And boy,
you
they're coming in. Let me tell you.
Till after 8. Okay.
Mark Mezzano, who is running for Reading City Council. We have 5 candidates running this time. Mark, I appreciate
you. How many empty
you.
Seats?
Two empty seats, Julie Winter and Adam McElvain, are both up for election.
And appreciate you coming in. We have, you know, certain candidates running in, that affect our county and our city that will not come on, that I find really interesting why they won't come on.
Carl, I'm very transparent. Ask me a question, and I will tell you no lies.
I appreciate everybody that comes on because, frankly, if you're running for office, you owe it to the people to come up here, ask, you know, say what you stand for, and then stand the questions afterwards.
100%. And I hope that this interview will generate more questions because it gives me opportunity to go out and research it.
And want to remind people that the positions that hit you the most have a daily effect on your life are our local elected officials.
That's right.
Our local Board of Supervisors, our city council, have more to do with your everyday life than the other state and federal
Okay,
offices.
Thanks, and we'll be right back after the news with Adam McElvain.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding. Safety. The Commission on Presidential Debate said the candidates will participate from separate remote locations while the town hall participants and moderator remain in Miami. The Biden campaign accepted the change, but almost immediately President Trump bashed the idea, telling Fox News he wouldn't waste his time on a virtual debate.
This is White House correspondent Greg Clarkson. Hurricane Delta is out over the Gulf of Mexico after blowing over Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. National Hurricane Center Senior Specialist Stacey Stewart says Delta is now on its way toward the Gulf Coast.
We expect that the hurricane will gradually turn more northward by late this afternoon and tonight and be near the northern Gulf Coast, especially the Louisiana coast, by sometime Friday afternoon.
Weekly jobless claims dropped to 840,000 in the first week of October. A look at the numbers from correspondent Bernie Bennett.
The number of Americans filing their first claims for unemployment benefits dropped to 840,000 during the first week of October, according to data released by the Labor Department, falling 9,000 from the previous week's revised level. In the week ending on October 3rd, a seasonally adjusted 840,000 initial claims for unemployment insurance were filed, roughly 20,000 claims above analysts' expectations. The previous week's level was revised up by 12,000 from 837,000 to 849,000. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
American poet Louise Glück has won the 2020 Nobel Prize in Literature for what the Academy called her unmistakable poetic voice.
I've just spoken to Louise Glück. The message came as a surprise, but a welcome one, as far as I could tell. Early in the morning it was.
That is the Swedish Academy's Mats Malms. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines. Take extra precautions if at higher risk. Wash our hands frequently. Stay 6 feet from others when we can. And when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
Consumer borrowing dropped for a sixth month in a row in August.
For a sixth straight month, U.S. consumers cut back on borrowing, reflecting continued coronavirus caution. The Federal Reserve reports the figure for total borrowing fell by $7.2 billion in August, following a $14.7 billion gain in July. The biggest decline was a $9.4 billion drop in the category that covers credit cards. The category that covers auto and student loans rose by $2.2 billion in August for its fourth straight gain. Consumer borrowing signals spending, which accounts for 70% of U.S. economic activity. George Bonzani reporting.
On Wall Street, it's been a strong showing so far for the major indexes. The Dow right now up by about 85 points. The Dow's coming off a 530-point gain yesterday. The Nasdaq right now up by about 46, and the S&P 500 has eked out about a 20-point gain. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The ex-police officer charging George Floyd's death is free on bond. Here's correspondent Mike Grazzi.
Derek Chauvin, a former Minneapolis police officer charged in the death of George Floyd, posted bail Wednesday and was released from custody. According to court documents, Chauvin posted a $1 million bond. Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. It was Chauvin who bystander video captured with his knee on the handcuffed Floyd's neck for several minutes before Floyd died on May 25th. The video set off protests around the world. Chauvin and three other since-fired officers also charged in Floyd's death are currently scheduled to be tried together in March. I'm Mike Grazia.
Supreme Court justices spent some time discussing everything from restaurant menus to keyboards, songs, even the periodic table as they tried to resolve a copyright dispute between tech giants Google and Oracle. It's a case that has major implications for the future of the high-tech industry. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:05 in the morning here on the 8th of October, Thursday. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Trish Clark is with me, dancing to her own music right here.
I was just checking the weather. Good morning.
Good morning, Trish.
Okay, the weather, it is 58 degrees in downtown Reading. We've got a high today of 78 and a low of 51. On Friday, a high of 78 and a low of 55. And on Saturday, a high of 73 and a low of 50. On Sunday, a high of 77, a low of 52. On Columbus Day, Monday, we're going to have a high of 85. It's threatening a little increasing clouds, partly cloudy. Don't see any rain in the new immediate forecast, a little chance of showers on Saturday with a high of 73. Weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, and just make this clear, because somebody in the chat room said I'm supporting certain people. That's absolutely not true. We endorse nobody on this station. As I believe, just like Trish does, is that we are more impacted by our local politicians than we are by the feds. Now, the state does have can roll in here and does things to us, okay, so you have to take a look at that. But our local politicians, and we don't endorse anybody for one good reason. I admire everybody that runs. And the fact is I applaud people who run. So you will never hear me endorse or Linda endorse anybody for election here. The candidates understand that. Adam McElveen is with us. Adam, you understand that, right?
Of course I do.
And I've said that I don't know how many times every election cycle. We just don't endorse people. We want people to listen to the candidates and make their own minds up. Who cares who I – if I did, who cares if I endorse somebody? What's his face? De Niro endorses Biden. Do you think I'd listen to him?
A lot of people who think their opinion matters are greatly mistaken.
You know what? Our listeners are smart enough to figure out who they should vote for. But Adam McElveen, mayor of Reading, who is running for re-election, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Good morning.
You know what? We've got to start off with the skunk on the table.
Okay.
The raise.
Yes.
The 10% raise, which equates to like $30,000 a year for the city attorney.
Who already makes $191,000.
And the assistant city attorney, who must make something close to that, I imagine. I don't know how much he makes. But why would the city council give a raise when we went into the red zone, which means we're laying people off from work? We may have some businesses just shut down.
Well, you have to ask the council members that supported it, because I, DeQuisto and myself were the dissenting votes, so we voted against it. And I understand the concept, and it's, you know, we're moving one department into another. And so there's
some question about the advisability for code enforcement with the attorney's office. I would say that history tells you code enforcement is not about legal. It's about doing something.
Well, it does eventually get to legal sometimes with code enforcement. So there's two different departments, development services or the city's attorney's office. So we'll have to see how it works in the city's attorney's office, the city attorney's office rather than development services. But there are some different synergies depending on where code enforcement is. So that's one of the things I said is, hey, let's reconsider this issue in 6 months, see how it's working. Is it more effective? You know, are the two departments finding their synergy? So that was my recommendation on Tuesday night. But as far as supporting it, you'd have to talk to one of the council members.
Well, we'll try and get Julie Winter on because she is running for reelection. I would like to know what her reasoning was to give a raise to somebody. You know, and again, I try not to get fixated on salaries. But a 10% raise at this time, it kind of is almost like after that the last time they tried to raise taxes, not this last one on the jail, but just to raise taxes, and it was slam dunked by everybody. Then the city council immediately after that gave raises to two members of their city staff of $1,000 a month. And it just left a horrible taste in people's mouths.
The problem with this whole thing is perception.
Yeah, let me clarify. I was not on the city council.
No, you weren't on the city council. That was one of the reasons that I think one of the people that was running that time was not reelected for that.
The problem that our elected officials as a whole seem to have in Shasta County, from my perspective, for the last few years, is they never seem to think that give the citizens the credit of having a memory of any kind. We don't care who did the thing. It was the Reading City Council. You're now a part of it. You weren't 20 years ago, but if they did something, you're going to bear the brunt of it. Because the perception is you've asked for tax increases repeatedly, telling them we can never solve any problems if we don't get this tax increase. We can't have more police officers. We can't have this. Can't solve the homeless problem. We can't do this. Blah, 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 blah. You have never gotten the tax increase. The only thing that continues to happen is the raises, both at the board level and at the city council level. All these people who don't solve the homeless problem, who don't solve the police problem, which is the thing impacting the people, they don't get solved, but the people that are running parks and attorneys get raises. That's the perception you face.
And so I'm on the same page as you are. You know, 4 years ago, I did not support the tax increase and said that we could solve things without it. And we've done a great job. We rebuilt the CSO program, and it was completely rebuilt last year. We've reduced response times. We've done a lot. We've hired 21 more personnel for the fire department. So we've done a lot without having to raise taxes. And one of the things, too, is, I like to support things that I think are going to be successful. And the voters approved the cannabis tax in 2018. We're on track to make more than $2 million this year just from the tax alone on the cannabis.
And I understand that the raises are supposedly coming from the tax.
They're coming from the permit fees, actually, which is a different stream of money that people pay the permits to have the businesses.
Okay.
So it's not the taxes.
It's the permit fees.
It is the permit fees.
But I thought that was going to be adding police and enforcement to this.
Right.
But paying the city, giving raises to the city attorney and his assistant, I don't remember seeing that in there.
No, that was not part of it, but it is. They are part of
but
the enforcement arm.
But they moved code. Interesting. So now we know why they moved the code enforcement over to the city attorney's office, so they could give the city attorney's office a raise. I'm just saying that makes the nexus is how we can get away with that.
Okay. We're going to take an early break because I frankly am aghast at this whole thing. It's kind of like, okay, maybe during when they gave that raise before to those two people, maybe they did deserve the raise, but not right after things fail, not after you go in, and then this one after we're going back into the red tomorrow, which means that restaurants that have hired five people to work in the restaurants are now going to have to cut back from 50% which is ridiculous, to 25%, which means you're going to have to lay people off. So
and go in the hole, because you can't run a profitable business at 25%.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Organization, fully accredited chest pain center. They have so many other things that they're doing there. Also, the Joint Commission on Advanced Primary Stroke Care. They've been the highest rated by the Medicare and Medicaid services, the center for that, for specifically targeted categories, included heart attack care, emergency care, and it goes on and on. Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back with Mayor Adam McElvin.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right. You know I work all day.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I am Steve Morgan, and I'm running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors to represent the citizens of District 4 and Shasta County. My record of trust, integrity, commitment, and proven leadership is a foundation of my service. With my leadership, we have maintained a balanced budget. I will continue to work hard and advocate for Shasta County taxpayers, businesses, and public safety. I am committed to expanding economic prosperity to create and keep jobs. I believe law enforcement agencies and first responders are paramount for our county. As a Vietnam veteran, I am committed to supporting our military and veterans. My conservative approach to budgeting, support for industry and business, and commitment to a safe and healthy community earned me endorsements from the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, District Attorney Stephanie Bridges, Reading Firefighters, Sheriff Eric Magrini, former Sheriff Tom Vasenko, and Sheriff Pope, Operating Engineers Local 3, Sierra Pacific Industries, and many local leaders and business owners. I'd be honored to receive your vote. Paid for by the committee to re-elect Steve Morgan for Supervisor 20.
The safety of our valued guests and team members remains our highest priority. At Wind River Resort and Casino, our clean team safety crew is available 24/7 to ensure you're provided with a safe and fun experience. Safety measures include a non-invasive thermal temperature scan, notification to clean high-touch areas, face mask policy, numerous sanitizing stations, and plexiglass for added safety to allow for social distancing, allowing our guests to have a comfortable gaming experience. Your safety matters to us. WindRiver.com.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for state senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 1423306.
Hello, this is Mark Mazzano, candidate for City Council. Did you know earlier this summer, Reading City Council sold a piece of land for $3,000 to a political opposition group in a bid to stop the Reading Rancheria's new casino, denying us 700 new jobs and millions of dollars for our local economy? I think it's just plain sleazy politics. When was the last time you could buy your own road for $3,000? Who knows? You probably could have got $300,000. The land in question is a strip of roadway specifically intended to prevent commercial access for the casino. Whether you agree with the casino project or not, our city council knowingly broke the law. Don't take my word for it. We're fortunate to actually have a real lawyer on city council who voted no because he knew the city would face litigation. Litigation that we, the taxpayers of Reading, would have to pay, which could cost tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to right a wrong. What did City Councilman DeQuista say?
Yeah. I'll say it. It's sleazy.
A vote for me, Mark Mazzano, on November 3rd is a vote for a new voice in Reading. Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Mazzano, council member, City of Reading.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Seven women on my mind. Four that wanna own me, two that wanna stone me, one says she's a friend.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Makes me want to dance.
I am. I'm in here wiggling around. Welcome back to Free Fire. You know, I did one time. I was in Iraq, and my combat buddy, full-blooded Navajo, Donald Jim. Sometimes Donald listens to the show. I don't know where he's at right now. He was in South Dakota. I don't know where he is now. But, you know, I mean, I busted some moves, and he looked at me, and he took out his gun, laid it on the his pistol, laid it on the desk, and said, "Don't ever do that again." Okay, Donald, I didn't realize you didn't like dancing. I don't like your dancing. We are with Adam McElvay, Mayor Adam. So much for the intro. That was our intro. We're here with Mayor Adam McElvay. We talked about the raise. Adam voted against it. In fact, you said that you voted against every executive.
I haven't supported any executive raises since I've been on the council.
Timing. Timing's everything. It was just bad timing, mm-hmm. among other things, but that was probably one of the worst things. Adam, you've been pushing this internet, the high-speed internet. Some people have said that already exists in our city. And okay. When I hear that, what's your response to that?
So that's not true. It does not exist. What we're talking about when we're talking about high-speed internet is fiber, you know, connection to fiber internet. And so there are a few places in town where you can get fiber at a, you know, somewhat limited fiber. So mm-hmm. what we're talking about is bringing fiber to every home, every business, and having much faster speeds, better reliability than you currently have.
And what is the impact on Reading if this happens?
Well, it would make us very attractive.
Does it make it easier for me to run games and that kind of stuff?
But what's
the business impact?
So the business impact would be that it would give our businesses a leg up, you know, in the 21st century economy, because they would be able to move at the speed of innovation. They wouldn't be limited by what type of internet access they have. So that would invite a lot of new sectors as far as the tech industry, some of these other industries, healthcare, education, to be able to use that infrastructure, utilize that infrastructure for new solutions. So, It is not something that we have currently in Reading, not even close. And so we approved, as I had mentioned, I think, before when I was on the show, but we approved the Reading Broadband Master Plan in June of this year. It largely went unnoticed because the same night was the night of the protests here downtown. So that was the same night that we approved.
Timing is everything, isn't it?
Timing's everything.
Right. So
was there a protest?
So we approved the first two phases. We're going to start construction soon on a 26-mile fiber ring across the city that overlays our electric infrastructure. Right. So
you're using the REU infrastructure, meaning the conduits that are there already and all that?
Correct.
Or is it going to be new conduits?
No, so it's our existing infrastructure. And so a 26-mile fiber loop, which is enormous, there's nothing that even comes close in the state to comparing to that on a municipal level. So we're working on that. And then phase two is hooking up all the city properties. So all of our utilities, RU is going to be the primary one at first for fire, mm-hmm. Being able to identify our fire areas, places that are more prone to fire. But we have other smart city applications that we can use. So hooking up the city to that, and then any potential stakeholders. And there's obviously a lot of interest from education, healthcare, other government agencies. Phase three is the pilot phase, which I've talked about a lot, which is where we put it in town, the downtown and some other areas potentially, mm-hmm. where they would have that access to the network would go to the businesses and residents. And so we're currently working on the engineering for that. And then phase four is the citywide build-out, and that would be going to everyone in the city.
Where's the money coming from for this? How much is this going to cost?
So that's what we're working on right now and why we have the engineer for the full citywide build-out. But the downtown, when we looked originally, we were probably between $2.5 and $3.5 million to do the downtown.
Or is this coming out of the general fund?
No, for the pilot phase, you know, we're looking for grant money, and we've already met with the Economic Development Agency with the federal government, and we're an extremely good candidate to apply for grants to get the infrastructure put in. And they do an 80-20 match, so that means potentially 80% of the infrastructure would be paid for by grants.
Once the city of Reading has that and it's tied to the infrastructure for Reading Electric Utility, is there any Is there a possibility that at some point that can be spread countywide, connected to?
So there is, you know, if the city did have that infrastructure in place, I think there is a possibility for that. I know there's a lot of interest, especially right on the city border and other areas just outside the city where they have little to no internet service and they want better coverage. So I get that question quite a bit, and I think that that is certainly a possibility, and I've talked to some providers about that already. But what my goal in this is to expand access to the internet. You know, just through the pandemic, it's unbelievable how many kids, you know, in school, school-age kids that don't have access to the internet.
Oh, it's incredible. I know certainly more in the outlying areas.
Yeah.
I don't know that inside the city of Reading, but in the outlying areas, it's been a nightmare because there's so many places that just do not have the, you know.
Even the internet we have now, and you get up to places like Fall River and Bernie, which is not, that's not your consideration, however, for Adam, but when you get out there.
Oh, Cottonwood, edges of Cottonwood, edges of Anderson.
Somebody told me out of Palo Cedro, they had their internet provider went out of business.
It's amazing how much
people off the line out there. Anyway,
so this is something I've been working on for quite a while. We were delayed by the car fire. Obviously, the COVID had delayed us a little bit as well. So we've had some hurdles to get over. But it's about bringing making high speed internet available to everyone, cheap access to very very fast speeds. You know, putting in the infrastructure that's going to make us a really strong city for the next century, you know, to have a strong 21st century economy. And again, this is something that we can do. We have a huge, unique advantage in that we own our electric utility and being able to do this.
Absolutely.
I don't know who voted to buy that electric utility back. What, I don't even know how long ago. It's 80, 90, 100 years.
It'll be 100 years old in 2022.
Okay. Then we need to find out who voted for that and go to their places of rest and put flowers on their graves for that one.
Well, we did pay last – if we'd been paying the PG&E rate structure last year in the city of Reading, we would have paid $52 million more on our electric bills. It's a big deal.
If the business – here's a question from the chat room. If the businesses are shutting down again, the restrictions, et cetera, the tax base is not going to be here for this next fiscal year because I think it goes – you're like, what, 6 months behind on how much money we're bringing in? Is that correct?
No, we have – I mean, we have numbers from August.
Okay. And
yeah.
What does the tax base look like? I mean, we've only had COVID and fires.
For the city?
Yeah.
So the city's on sound financial footing right now. We actually finished – we've been budgeting very conservatively the past 2 or 3 years, and so we've done better than projected for, I want to say, three and a half years now on our budgets, which is fantastic. So we're in good financial shape. We actually finished June 30th of this year above budget projections, and that was even with about a third loss in our hotel taxes for May and June. But hotel taxes were back where they should be in August.
Well, everything filled up just as quickly as it was able to start using hotel rooms again.
Firefighters.
Firefighters.
That didn't hurt. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning. Do you have a question for
Adam? Actually, I have a couple of them. Maybe somebody can write them down, and I'll just take my answers off the air.
I've got my pen out.
I think you're only allowed one question per call, Terry.
What's that, buddy?
I said I think you're only allowed one question per call.
I'm writing
I think I just want to... I want to clarify some of the things that you said, so I guess they're really not questions. You said that you're looking for grant money for downtown and for the internet, but we're spending money. Where's that coming from, number one? Number two, and this is something you may want to – now, we've been hearing that the city of Reading took $12 million, that's with an M, out of the REU fund to pay for unfunded liability. I'm not sure if that's true or false, but that's what's going around, $12 million. And you just got through saying that we're flush in money. If we are, then number one, why are we not hiring more police and fire? And the last thing is, I know Carl will cover this, and I hope he covers it strong. Why in the world are we against moving the casino to the new site? And those are my questions, but I think you need to, it would be helpful if you... answer those and not, go around it with grant money. Where's that money coming from now? You're spending it. Anyway, have a great day, you guys, and thank you.
I got him, Terry. Okay.
Now, hold on. So did you get all the questions?
I did. You're trying to get grant money now,
mm-hmm.
but you're spending money to pay for the engineering and all this. Where did that money come
from? That's true. So that money has come from, a portion has come from REU and a portion has come from the general fund. So we have spent $30,000 on consulting.
How much?
$30,000. Yep, to put together the plan.
30, not 300. 30.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So
right.
That's what we did, and that was approved by the council. So we did spend some money to do the consulting. Before that, we had done all the work on this without any charge to the taxpayer. So we went through the entire feasibility study. We met with all these partners and these different groups. We didn't spend a dime from the general fund,
mm-hmm.
Or any of the other utilities. But to get to the point where we could put together a plan, we had to spend some money to put that together. And obviously that's not something that I'm very excited about, but it's something we have to do to move forward.
So I understand is that to make the pre-planning, money was spent, but it didn't come from the taxpayers.
It came both from RU and
no, that was for the engineering plan, the $30,000.
Right.
But the money before that did not come from any.
We didn't spend any money before that.
Okay. What about $12 million out
of
REU?
So I think what he's thinking of is every year we do take money from REU to prepay our PERS payment. And some people disagree with that. I think there was one member of the council that doesn't agree with that. But what we do is we prepay our PERS payment with funds from REU. And what that does is it saves us about $400,000 a year on interest.
And then you pay back REU.
Correct.
That money that you use, that those millions of dollars, whatever it is, to pay prepay $12 million to pay PERS, you pay back during the year.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if $12 million is the exact number, but that's been the practice now for 2 or 3 years, and then we use that money to hire more police officers.
So then the $400,000 that you save in the interest goes to hiring. Okay.
Correct.
And we're going to take a break because we're going to come back and talk about the casino. That's going to take a little bit longer. This portion of the show brought to you by Reading Home Helpers. Sharon Clark has started this on her kitchen table, this concept of helping people in our community, and has grown her business into the premier home assistance business in Northern California. She is, and during this COVID, she has reached out. A lot of people needing more assistance at home because their caretakers couldn't make it. Sharon has reached out and is helping those people. Sharon's looking for more amazing people to be caretakers. And whether you want to do it full-time or part-time, give her a call at 226-8350 or learn more at readinghomehelpers.com. This is the premier home assistance company around.
And just a quick note, we want to wish Sharon a happy birthday
yesterday. Yesterday was Sharon Clark's birthday, yeah.
Yes.
Happy birthday there, lady. And give her a call at 226-8350, and you can say happy birthday at the same time. We'll be right back with Mayor Adam McElvain.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2 Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. PSA 2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2 HICAP services for more information. 530-223-09 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:36 in the morning here on the 8th of October, 58 degrees out there, smoky. Only going up to 81 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Trish Clark and I are here. Jared's at the helm in there. We have Mayor Adam McElveen with us. And let's finish up on the third question. About the casino. As everybody knows, Reading City Council has been opposing the building of the casino. And this is my aside, even though that we sold them the land, we, the city, sold them the land several years ago. And now we're in a lawsuit. The fact is that the lawyer on the city council said we didn't get full indemnity. We have an indemnity of $100,000. Can you tell us what happens? What happened here? Why we didn't get full indemnity?
Well, I can't. I would love to talk to you about it, but because we're in the lawsuit, I can't comment on it and don't feel comfortable doing so. But I would love to talk about it, and I made my decisions based on the merits of the project. Someday I will be able to talk about it, but not today.
Okay. You know, people go, oh, you took that. Well, yeah, because if you're litigation.
The confirmation took place in closed session, any discussions that were had, and you're in litigation.
Correct.
Elected officials can't talk about it.
Okay.
Right.
As you want to.
You're absolutely right. I would love to talk about it, but there was another question about hiring more police officers.
Yeah, we don't have enough police. We know that, but you said during the break, well, hey, we're getting ready to do that.
Yeah, Terry had asked if we, you know, if we're on sound financial ground, why we haven't hired more officers, and that's a good question. It was very possible that we were going to hire 6 to 8 more officers in July, second NPU specifically for the downtown area of Reading. And so
NPU.
NPU is the neighborhood policing unit, so they're kind of a tactical group that
in
work
one,
together.
But they are officers.
Right. Correct. Yeah, they're sworn officers. Okay. And so it was absolutely my intention to hire more officers, but the council decided as a group that we should wait until January to affirm that our finances are in good shape before we make that decision, because we don't want to hire people and then have to lay them off, you know, just a few months later.
We're opening a downtown substation. Is this right? Is that the right term?
Yeah, so later today at 1:30, we are opening a downtown substation in downtown Reading. And the goal then is to get that NPU online so that we have officers working downtown, going on the trails all the time, so that we have a constant presence. And that's part of the revitalization of downtown, those efforts. You know, we're seeing this huge transformation. We want to make sure that downtown is a family-friendly atmosphere and that people can come down here, feel safe, and that we can see that resurgence of downtown. So it's part of a bigger picture.
Perhaps actually be able to walk around downtown and go to the post office and mail a letter?
Correct.
Well, let's talk about that. The post office has become a meeting place, an exercise yard. I've used the
example. Not a place you want to go.
That Linda had a problem just mailing letters from the car, trying to drive down that street between the Veterans Hall and the post office. Post office has had to put a fence around itself. The library is inundated. Is that the right word? What's going on?
We are driving downtown all the time. And, you know, everybody has rights, but we're making sure that no laws are being broken. What's happening is we're seeing new faces in town. And this is not good news, but because of the new prison releases from COVID, we're seeing new people showing up in town. And it's something that we're well aware of, and we're doing our best to adapt to and continue to work with the sheriff to try to find adequate jail space for offenders. But it seems like whenever we get a strategy put together and we start to see some success, the rules change or the state decides to release more prisoners, and it makes it more difficult. So there is something happening right now, and we're going to look for the solutions that we can to make sure that people continue to stay safe. But that's another reason why we want to get this neighborhood policing unit that's downtown all the time.
Carl, we need to go back to the phone now.
Oh, yeah.
We have another
call.
Bob.
Hey, Bob, good morning. Do you have a question for Adam?
Yes, I do. We're a rural county in Northern California, and I think there was a comment made a little few minutes ago about how local politicians and leadership is losing contact with the citizens. I'm actively involved with Board of Supervisors and some other things, and one of the things I found out is the city of Reading is putting up facial recognition cameras throughout the city. And my question is, why? I'm an American. I enjoy our freedoms. That's who we are as Americans. And now I find out that for whatever reason, we're putting up these facial recognition cameras. Can you explain why the city council would have approved that expenditure and what the purpose is, please?
Okay, that is...
And I'll take...
Okay.
I'll take my answer offline then.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
So that's not true. That's not correct information. We've never used facial recognition software at the city. It's not something that we have happening now. And that is something that I myself would be extremely concerned with, and have thought about putting together some new policy actually to prohibit facial recognition technology in the city of Reading. And that's something that some other cities across the country have done that already to prevent that from happening. That is not something that's ever been discussed at the council. It's not something that's being used by our law enforcement. So I'm not sure where that information is coming from.
Okay.
Good. That's good clarification.
Yeah, so it's not happening, and it's not going to happen on your watch unless you get
outvoted. Absolutely not. No. And, I mean, the only time that I've seen facial recognition software used by a municipality is when they use it with the body cameras. With the police officers, and then they go back and try and use it to recognize the
body.
People
let's talk about body cameras. Mm-hmm. We don't have body cameras.
No.
And why is that?
Well, personally, I don't support body cameras for several reasons, and they were something that were putting together when I got on the council, and I actually, well, that was one of the first things I did, is had that $250,000 that they'd allocated for body cameras pulled back so that we could buy new Glocks for the police department, because everybody's Glocks were jamming when I got on the council.
Have they heard about cleaning?
They were, well, they were 12 years old, and they'd been using, you know, they use the rubber when they're practicing, so it wears a little bit differently. But that really scared me when I found out that they were having problems with their sidearms.
That bothered me, too.
So the body cameras are an issue for me because it's, first of all, I think there's tremendous privacy issues, you know, especially if they're going into someone's home. And I know the officers are trained. You remove the human element, you know, from officers being able to make their decisions. They may not see things, you know, when your adrenaline's pumping and you're in the middle of a situation, what you perceive is different than what a camera perceives. And so it's something where I think I'm not sure it's going to play out. And I know there are other municipalities and jurisdictions now that are pulling back on body cameras. And the only clear winner with body cameras is the news media.
Yeah.
And they get fantastic footage of someone making the biggest mistake of their life, and they just run it on the news, and they get the clicks. And I just don't see a lot of benefit.
It's not the whole.
And that's the problem from either side, from the police officer's side or the victim or criminal, whatever. There's no good outcome from this because you're only getting part of the picture. The news media blows it up to the extent we see the results of that in this last shooting of that lady that the grand jury came back and said, yeah, no, we're not going to prosecute. The decision has already been made in the public because of that footage that they were wrong. And when you really look at all the information, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing of it is storage. You're talking about millions of dollars just for storage for this.
It is costly, and I would personally rather have more officers.
On the plus side, it can also help police when things are set. That's, you know, and I've seen this before where they've been accused of everything, and they show the footage. It shows that the person was lying.
Yep.
The other thing too is, for some reason, when officers have the cameras on and they ask a question, they get a more honest answer when they've got that body camera on. I've heard that also from the Highway Patrol.
You can't stop the public from the filming that they're doing when they're approached. So,
but it, you know, the thing about it is, until you can get a body camera that works all the time, that captures the whole scene, and you've got the storage under control, is that something we want to add on to the burden of the taxpayers here in the city?
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a break.
And then we'll come right back and we'll go to Ethan on the phone.
Yeah, Ethan. We'll go to Ethan when we come back. This is Carl Bott and Trish Clark. This is KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8:46 in the morning. 59 degrees out there, going up to 81 today. We'll be right back.
Only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Pension reform. Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. How strong is Shasta County government? One factor to examine is pension debt. Shasta County is underfunded to the tune of $534 million. This means that for Shasta County taxpayers, we must spend approximately $20 million a year for the next 20 years to cover this debt. What could we do with an extra $20 million a year? I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I just thought you ought to know. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans.
and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Redding. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, 851 in the morning. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, 59 degrees out there, going up to 81 today. Terry, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to give Adam McElvain your phone number because he said to clear up the question on REU. He's going to call you after the show so y'all can spend as much time as you need to,
to get your clarification.
Yeah, to get the clarification, but we have to move on. Ethan, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a question for Mayor McElvain? Or?
Yes, I sure do. Mayor McElvain, so my question was, what is your plan to deal with the city's underfunded pension liabilities given the recent raise to the two attorneys?
Did
okay.
You get that?
Yep.
And okay.
I'll take that off there as well.
Thank you very much, Ethan. Good question.
So we've been working on the PERS issue since we got on the council, and let me tell you what has been the biggest benefit. We have been, you know, they've changed their rates, the rate structure right when I got on the council, and so we had a new $30 million debt literally overnight. And so we've negotiated out of that debt with the unions. Because we're seeing a stronger economy locally and nationally, and we had record low unemployment up till March 1st of this year. Because we're seeing a stronger economy, our revenues are up, and then at the same time, the PERS fund is performing better. 2 years ago, it felt like we were kind of dying in the snow from the PERS. It just felt like it was constricting our budget. So we actually hit in 2024-2025, we hit the high peak, the crest of our PERS payments. And so if we can keep a healthy healthy budget, a healthy reserve, you know, for 3 or 4 more years, we're going to hit that high watermark in how much we have to contribute to PERS, and then we hit the downhill. So that's the goal, is to get to that point, to keep things healthy and steady, so that we can get through this PERS fiasco that has been building up for years. But that's the high watermark here, is in 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Don, good morning. Do you have a question for...
good morning.
Adam
McElvain. I'm sorry, I don't have a radio. What's the topic today?
It's Adam McElvain is is our guest.
Oh,
and
sorry,
it's the race for city council. It's not about the race for city council. Please hang up.
Mr. McElveen, 4 years ago, I believe you ran on the idea of bringing fast internet to downtown Reading. Can you tell me why that hasn't happened at this point?
Well, we did discuss it about 30 minutes ago on the show, so I'm not sure if I want to spend all the listeners' time going through it again. But we're very much in the process of that. We approved a broadband master plan in June that's four phases, and the first two phases have been fully approved by the council, so we're starting to build the infrastructure. And the phase three and phase four, the pilot phase and the citywide build-out, and we're doing the engineering work on those right now. So,
Adam, why don't you give him some information about how he can contact you personally and get that information?
Well, the best information is going to be on the city's website. So if you go to cityofreading.org, you'll be able to find the city fiber project and get all the most recent updates as to where we're at.
Okay, we've got like 4 minutes left. Adam, what do you want? If you're reelected, what do you want to accomplish in your next
So my, you know, the, as much doom and gloom as there is in the world today, you know, Reading, as far as the city goes, we have a stronger, faster, more well-trained police department. We have the biggest fire department we've ever had. Both of those, both the police and the fire department need more personnel, though. So that's my goal is to get our police department fully reconstructed from where it was previous to the recession. We've done a lot of work, and we've hired a lot of new people. The fire department, we still need about 9 firefighters to get to the full 3-man crew per fire engine. So public safety is still my number one priority, and I think both of those goals are doable. Economic development is extremely important to me, and I've been really trying to push that open for business mentality at the city, and we've really seen that start to pay off here in the last couple of years with the explosion in investment in Reading. And so I think we'll continue to see that. And we actually found a deeper level with COVID in that we don't just, you know, we're not just open for business, but we're fighting for businesses. You know, we put together that $39 million response package in April. And we've been doing everything that we can to help our businesses locally that are struggling get through this gap with COVID. So continue the economic development, continue the internet project, really, I think we have a Reading. I feel like Reading is really revved up right now. You know, COVID's hanging over us. We know the only thing certain about COVID is that we know that it's temporary. You know, it's not going to be here forever. At some point, it's going to move on. And Reading is, I think, really well prepared to just take off. Our unemployment is 3% lower than the state average. And I don't recall any time in our history when we've been below the state average. We're usually 2, 3, 4 points higher than the state average on unemployment. So that's a testament, I think, to the local leadership, how we've handled the COVID pandemic, our ability to help businesses, and really the strength of our business community to hang together in tough times. So I would say especially relative to other cities and other things that we're seeing across the country, we are very well positioned. We're ahead of the curve on recovery. So I want to continue to build on that momentum as we move forward. And I think there's a lot of hope for our city. I really do. I think we're in good shape, all things considered. And I'm very excited for the day when we don't have to worry about COVID anymore and we can press forward, because there's a lot of positive things happening in our city right now.
How can they get a hold of you, Adam, if they have questions?
So you can email me at Adam McElveen@cityofreading.org, or give me a call. My number is 530-276-7012. And I'd be happy to talk to people, and always available, and want to be as transparent as possible, and really appreciate you guys having me on today.
And I just want to say a word about voting. I think everybody, please be conscientious about voting. We're doing this vote by mail nonsense. I would encourage everybody to take their time to fill out your ballot, and then take it to a drop box, take it to the clerk's office,
or vote that day in your polling place.
That day in your polling place.
Now, I've heard, though, if you vote in the polling place, you have to show up with your mail ballot.
Yes, yeah, you have to bring your mail ballot with you, but you can vote at your polling place.
That's right.
Do not mail them. I think I like the thing going around, put five $100 bills in an envelope and mail it to yourself. If you're not confident enough to do that, then don't mail your ballot.
The other thing I'd like to say is take a look at all these propositions. They will have a severe impact on our day-to-day operations of the state, our county, and our city. So please take a look at every one of those propositions. We're going to keep going through them. But Adam McElveen, thanks a lot for coming in here today. As has been pointed out, we've had every one of the city council people running for city council have been on. Tomorrow, Patrick Jones, running for the Board of Supervisors, will join us at 8 o'clock. And Dr. Pramila Dhanuka will join us at 7:15. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and she's going to talk about that. Breast cancer has a 98% chance of cure
of
living through this if it's caught early. So she's going to be discussing that tomorrow. So thanks again, Adam. And you always, Trish.
Love Thursday mornings, and I'm so happy to be back. I'm not going to go travel on Thursday.
There you go.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You bet. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? But I won't back
down. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.